नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो नंबर 5 चैप्टर नंबर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 5 and 6। यो वायम विपिहा कुवलया कमला कोशाभ्यंतरा कोशो नियुता योजना विशाला समवर्तुला यता पुष्करा पात्रम। यस्मिन् नव वर्षाणि नवयोजना सहस्र आमानि अस्तबीर मर्यादा गिरिभि सुवि भक्तानि भवन्ति। यस्मिन् नव वर्षाणि नवयोजन सहस्र अयमानि अस्तबीर मर्यादा गिरिवि सुविभक्तानि भवन्ति। यस्मिन् नव वर्षाणि नवयोजन सहस्रयामिनि अस्तिवीर मर्यादा गिरिभि सुविभक्तानि भवन्ति। यस्मिन् नव वर्षाणि नवयोजन सहस्रयामिनि अस्तिवीर मर्यादा गिरिभि सुविभक्तानि भवन्ति।
यस्मिन् नव वर्षाणि
यस्मिन् नव वर्षाणि सहस्रयामिनि अस्तिवीरमर्यादा गिरिभि सुविभक्तानि भवन्ति। यस्मिन् नव वर्षाणि नवयोजन सहस्रयामिनि अस्तिवीरमर्यादा गिरिभि सुविभक्तानि भवन्ति। ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ टेक्स्ट 5 चैप्टर नेम इज डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ जम्बूद्वीप। द प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम नोन एज भूमंडल रिसेंबल्स अ लोटस फ्लावर एंड इट्स 7 आइलैंड्स रिसेंबल द होल ऑफ दैट फ्लावर। The length and breadth of the island known as Jambudeep, which is situated in the middle of the whole, are 1,000,000 yojanas, 8,000,000 miles. Jambudeep is round like the leaf of a lotus flower. Translation for text number 6. In Jambudeep, there are 9 divisions of land. each with a length of 9,000 yojanas, 72,000 miles. There are 8 mountains that mark the boundaries of these divisions and separate them nicely. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the following quotation from Vayu Puran, wherein the locations of the various mountains beginning with the Himalayas are described. Dhanurvat samsite agneya devarshe dakshinotare dirgani tatra chatvari chaturasram ilavratam iti dakshinotare bharatutare kurvarshe chatvari kim purushe harivarsha ramyaksha hiranmayani varsani nilanidayas trishchinbhuya samudra pravishtoyah samlagnatvam angitriya bhadravesha ketu malayor apidanur akritvam atastayor darigyate eva madhya sankichittavane navasahasrayatmavan illa prutasyatu meru shakshat chaturdikshu navasahasrayatmavatvam sambhavet vastutastu ilavrata badrashva ketumalanam chatustrisat sahasrayatmavatam gneyam. It's actually in Sanskrit, the purport by Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur. And welcome to the world of Vedic cosmology. It's describes what the Jambudip, which is in the fifth canto, it's a total description of the planetary systems, which is the Bhagavatam speaks about the 10 subjects, and one is the creation and how it is maintained, and there is a sub-creation, and there is a poshana, and there is protection, and there is a genealogical table, etc. And also it speaks about the planetary systems. Puranam panchalakshanam, Mahapuranam dashalakshanam, which Mahapurana has the 10 qualities, which it speaks about the 10 subjects. And Puranas, it speaks about 5 subjects. And Srimad Bhagavatam is a Mahapurana. And also there are Alpa Puranas, which speaks less than 5 subjects. And there are also Alpa Alpa Puranas, which speaks 1 subject and 2 subject. And here, this subject just deals with the planetary systems, how the sun is moving, what is the distance between one planet to other planet, etc. And which is not my favorite subject, but it's very much an important, because Sukadeva Goswami explained to Parikshit Maharaj, and also Parikshit Maharaj asked questions about the planetary systems. He is going to die anyway in the 7 days, and one may raise a question that what is the need to discuss about the subject matter like this when he is going to die in 7 days? He says there is no need to discuss about the planetary systems and all the intricate details about those things. But also he emphasizes that hearing about the planetary systems, it eventually it leads. It brings you a picture. It's nothing but the universal form of Krishna. The more and more you hear, the more and more you focus, and you will see the picture of the whole universe is nothing but just Krishna, existence. It's just Krishna. And for the benefit of the people in general, and also by hearing the universal form, one creates an attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here Jambudvip, many times we hear when the Purohit, and especially the Panditjis, when they do some samskara or kind of a marriage or any samskaras, the first thing that they do is they mention the Dvip's name, and they mention the Varsha's name, and they mention the Khanda's name, and mention the place where they are doing, and mention the samskara's name, and then they mention the person's name, and he mentions about the sankalpa. So the sankalpa is like when you are performing a samskara like a garbhadana samskara, immediately the Panditji will say, in this Jambudvip, Bharata Khande, and Bharata Varshe, and Vrindavana Dhame, and Krishna Balaram Mandire. So it's very much linked with, and before taking a sankalpa, it's a principle that you specify the details where you are, and you specify the sankalpa, what you are going to do, to just to motivate and to achieve your goals. So here, it speaks about the Jambudvip. We see in this first chapter of this fifth canto, where Priyavrata Maharaj is starting from him. He is the one to create these seven oceans, because he was very much curious. He wasn't actually satisfied with the sun's direction, because the sun is, due to sun we get sunlight, and it illuminates the whole planetary system. Actually, it just not only illuminates this planet, it also illuminates the other planetary systems, because it takes the responsibility of illuminating all the other planetary systems, which a sun god, which he has a chariot, and he draws whole day long, and he gives the sunshine to all the planetary systems. So we see in the morning time when the sun rises, and evening time the sun sets. So in the northern side when the sun comes, in the southern side when the sun sets. If you see it if you visualize in the Jambudvip, if you don't know what is Jambudvip means, I have a picture here. You can just pass through. Everyone can have a look. So that you will get an idea of what I'm speaking about. Because it's a stereographic visual, which three pictures brings a dimension, a 3D dimension where you can see, where you can see through the planets how it works. And you can pass it to everyone. And also in the Jambudvip, Jambu means it's a fruit, and the Dvip means it's an island. We reside in Jambudvip, and in Jambudvip there are seven varshas, which means it's divided into seven varshas, and in one of the varshas name is Bharata Varsha, which is named after Maharaj Bharat, and who is a great grandson of Maharaj Priyavrata. And in Bharata Varsha there is a khand which is called Bharat Khand, in which it's in this India it's called as Bharat Khand. Also, if you see in Mahabharata, we see Arjun and Bhim when they go for collecting taxes for making Ashwamedha Yagna, they go to China, because it's all considered as Bharata Varsha. And also you see the description where Gandhari is from, and her hometown is Gandhar Parvat, it's near Afghanistan. So it all the way extends to Iran and until the Caspian Sea. And from there it covers the whole land, from here to China, its whole place is called Bharatakhanda. And here, Priyavrata Maharaj, starting from Priyavrata Maharaj, when he created the seven ditches, when he was driving the chariot behind Sun God, of competing him, when he wasn't satisfied with the sun's direction, and he could, with his power, he could change the directions of the sun. And in Srila Prabhupada, he explains in his purport that due to his devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that Priyavrata Maharaj had the power to control the sun and change the directions. And so I think it. And there are seven varshas and one nine varshas, and one is Bharat Varsh, and second thing is Kim Purusha Varsh, and that is Hari Varsh, Ketumala Varsh, and Badarsha Varsh, Ramyaka Varsh, Hiran Maya Varsh, and Uttra Kuru Varsh. And out of these nine varshas, only this Bharata Varsha is visible. And other varshas are invisible. And other varshas, if you see, only in this Bharata Varsha, human beings can do piety activity, can create piety. In other varshas, people can just, they can enjoy for the pious activity what they have created. There is no devotional life, and there is no vikarma, and there is no anything. The only thing what they do is, they whatever piety they created here, and they go to that region and they enjoy. And when once the piety is finished, and they have to come back. And this is the only place in Bharatvarsh where you can perform devotional service. That's why we see in the demigods, of the higher planetary systems also, they pray that they want to take birth in the human, in the earthly planet, so that they can do some, perform some devotional activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also we see in the in scriptures where it explains the glories of Bharata Bhumi. And what is it, sloka? Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bharata Varshe, Bharata Bhumi Te Janma Hoyla Jar. Yes. When you take birth in Bharatakhand, and it's the main duty as a human being is to perform devotional service, which makes one's life perfect. And here, also this Bharatakhand and all the varshas is surrounded by eight different kinds of mountains. And this Jambudip is next to the Sumeru. It's in the Sumeru, which is a golden, solid golden mountain, and which is a support, for the earth planet. It's actually a very cosmological subject, which is which I couldn't grasp. I just prepared a couple of hours, and one devotee who is a Premi Bhakta. Who didn't like to speak on this subject matter, he just dropped it on me. And just a day ago, then I have to go in all intricate details to collect the most difficult subject matter. And this picture is drawn by Mother Narayani, and which you can download it in the internet. It's such a wonderful picture. It speaks about the Jambudip and all the different varshas, and also how the Ganges and which side the Ganges is flowing, the salt water surrounded by the Sumeru mountain, and which deity is predominating which varsha. All the details are explained in this. So though we discuss in the fifth canto all the subject matter, and our Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, he asked this question, and in the detail, when he comes to the conclusion that the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is unfathomable, who is so deep, and who cannot be understood by a material mind. And also Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that Bhaktiya mam abhijanati yavanischa smitatvatah. I can understand only by devotional service. You perform with your senses with an intention to please the Lord. When that activity is performed, and you can see all the creation, all His power, opulence, one can understand. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Shri Krishna explains to Arjuna when he was trying to show his universal form to Arjuna, and he specially tells Arjuna that I am giving you the eyes to see my form, which that can hold the my universal form. And after that, Krishna shows his universal form. When Arjuna gets his eyes, then he explains how the universal form is. He explains the wonderful, wonderful form of the Krishna in the universal way. Also, he explains, I am the taste of the water, and the light of the sun. I am the beginning, middle, and the end. In 11th chapter, when you read the whole chapter, you see only Krishna, nothing else in this world. Wherever you see, his energy, and he exists in every living being and everything and every atom. When one realizes that that chapter, when you read the chapter, and literally if you visualize through that chapter, you just don't say anything else but Krishna. That is actually the result of reading the chapter. Sometimes we may think that that universal form is nothing but an opulence, but it just leads you to a form which creates an attachment within you, that you just don't see anything else but Krishna. Just you see the trees, you see the human beings, you see any living entities, it's just nothing but Krishna, His energy, and His opulences. Because in every living being, and Krishna says that I am this and I am that, I am the ability in man, I am the fame, I am the good speech in women, and I am everything. In conclusion, he said, I am everything, and that when one who understands that, he will come to me. And when in the Arjuna, when he finally he says to him that if you understand this subject matter, that you don't see anything else but me, and finally you come to me. And this is a glory of that chapter, which is one of my favorite chapter, because after reading that, you don't see the material energy and you don't see yourself as an enjoyer, and in the mood of you create a mood that everything is Krishna's and including me belongs to Krishna, and nothing else to be worried, and nothing else to be attached, nothing else to be detached. It's just everything Krishna, and whatever you see and whatever you feel and whatever you hear and everything else is Krishna. Seems like a Mayavadi philosophy, everything is Krishna, but at the same time there is a discrimination that you have the minute independence, which is the only one thing the living entity holds it, which is the only one thing which belongs to him, that he can say it's mine, at the independence. But as a devotee, even he offers that minute independence to Krishna, and we might say that is a full surrender, because we may give this and we may give that, we may give our opulence, we may give our money, we may give our position, everything, and at the last we may give up our independence too, that whatever Krishna feels, whatever he desires, and let it be so. And when you come to this point, and immediately Krishna reveals himself to you, because that's the point where the revelation starts. When even in the, it's like if you hear Adi Purush Prabhu's lecture, and in a few minutes or in a 45 minutes, you can understand that anyone can perform pure devotional service and anyone can become an unalloyed devotee, and which even in a sadhaka stage, which how is that? Which you have to just offer intention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you offer whatever you do, let the Krishna be pleased and let everything be for Krishna, and it's with an intention to please the Lord. You chant the holy name or you perform any kind of activity or any kind of art or whatever. If you offer the service with an intention to please the Lord, that very moment we start our pure devotional service with Krishna and we start connecting ourselves with Krishna. Because Krishna is very kind and very magnanimous, He magnifies everything, whatever His devotee does. Even if it has a small thing, it is magnified a million times because of His magnanimity and kindness, that He considers that something, a very big thing, that it has been done by His devotee. Although sometimes we feel unsatisfied in devotional service, that we are not able to do so many things like others do, and we may not be able to preach like others, or we may not be able to give lectures like others, but wherever we are, from there, with an intention, if you do a service, some kind of service, whatever you can, with an intention to please Krishna, and that just pleases the Lord. And that's what actually Krishna wants it. Because, after all, Krishna says in the 18th chapter of, in this canto, 18th chapter, it says, Yasasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarvar Guneshtatra Samasate Suraha Hara Bhaktasya Kuto Mahat Gunab Manorate Nasati Atma Bahi. If your activity is connected with Krishna, and if your intention, excuse me, here it explains, all the demigods under the exalted, qualities such as religion, knowledge and renunciation become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you are just a devotee of Krishna, automatically all the renunciation, all the knowledge and all kind of religion you have done, and it will automatically manifest. But at the same time, when you are not a devotee, on the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculation and must engage in the service of Lord's external energy. And there is no good qualities in such a man. And this is the glory of a devotee. Even if he is illiterate, even if he is not a knowledgeable person, even if he is incapable of anything, if he is just a devotee of Krishna, that makes him all good. That's a perfect. And that's actually a human's goal. And nothing else is a human goal. Even if you are not unable to explain these subject matters like this, and it doesn't matter, Krishna, that you don't know much, you don't have much knowledge about him or about his details. The only thing what he expects is just turn your desires towards him with even a small inclination that makes Krishna happy, which is actually the ultimate goal of life, which a devotee wants to perform some service and make Krishna happy and see his smile at the end. And that actually completes every activities. If anyone performs any activity with an intention to please the Lord, he has done all kinds of austerities and all kinds of religion, and he has crossed over all everything. He doesn't have to perform anything apart from that. And here Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing from Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he also says, because he was hearing this this universal form with an attachment for the transcendental form too. So although it's an expansion of material energy, but because Parikshit Maharaj was hearing with an intention to know the transcendental form, and also he was thinking about that, knowing and hearing about this, although it looks like a mundane knowing about the planets, is also spiritual because it is connected with Krishna. And for more details about this subject matter, we can also refer Vayu Puran, it's Markandeya Puran and Vishnu Puran, which also speaks an elaborate description of Jambudeep, where it's actually an universal tour. When you read this, it takes you all the way to all the Varshas, and it takes you to the Sumeru mountain, and where you see the golden which is made of gold, and it takes you to the other Varshas, and also it takes you to the different which you cannot be imagine with your own mind, with the Shastra description. And also we see here in this material world, what we see is just only 1/4 the dimension of the spiritual world. When Srila Prabhupada explains that with this material mind, we can't even understand the material universe of the Lord, and there is no question of understanding something which is spiritual, which is we never seen it and we never realized about that. So if one wants to know about this subject matter, about the spiritual world, etc., then one has to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and which makes everything perfect. I don't have anything much to say about Jambudeep. I think I will stop here. If you have any questions, comments, or anything to share, you can do so.
Take it until you make it. Dovetail your impersonal realization in Krishna's service, actually, and fake it until you make it.
Dovetailing my personal realization.
Just dovetail your impersonal understanding in Krishna's service, and then fake it until you make it, he said. In short.
Don't tell my impersonal understanding.
Channel.
But Krishna. Which is, I have to speak about what I understood through the universal form. Yes. Thank you. Where Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter, in his universal form, that when he explains about his energies in an impersonal way, and through that, as a normal a human being, which very easily can understand how Krishna is existing in everything. Just like when you drink water and Krishna says, I am the taste of the water, you can remember that Krishna is, this is the taste of water. And when the sun shines in the morning, and then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I am the light of the sun, and we can think about Krishna that this is you. And then also Krishna says, and the ability in man, when anyone performs any miracle and any kind of activity which brings glory, and we can think that this glory and this ability in him is Krishna, and we can, through that, we can understand that Krishna is acting through an impersonal way. Like that, through knowledge which is given in the 11th chapter, we can try to remember him in an impersonal way, which also leads one to think about his personal form. I think this much I know I answer. Yes. And about engaging the impersonalist who thinks there is no form and who thinks there is only Krishna's energy and who thinks that is ultimate, and engaging in that service who are also transcendentalist. And if an impersonal wants to engage to know Krishna, to engage himself in Krishna's service through Krishna's energy, as I explained to you about the 11th chapter, where Krishna says about all his impersonal energies, which is nothing but him, when actually Arjuna tells to Krishna that when he showed all the universal form to him, and after that he explains, he tells to Krishna that this form is very hard to hold on, and this form, I'm just satisfied with this, but I wanted to see the two-handed form, which is a normal and which is a human being form, which is very beautiful. And afterwards Krishna shows his beautiful two-handed form to Arjuna, and also he explains that my personal form is everyone supposed to worship my personal form, and he explains to in Bhagavad Gita, but that one is supposed to worship my personal form, where he tells to Arjuna, where Arjuna asks the question that which form we should worship, whether personal or impersonal. And where Lord Krishna tells to Arjuna that one should worship my personal form with the just like a human, and which is as beautiful, very beautiful, and with his flute in his hand, and which is a very normal, who is a very normal person. And impersonal, if you want to engage someone impersonalist in Krishna's service, then that right understanding is that he can understand the Krishna's energy, the impersonal, and energy is nothing coming from his person, as a person is coming through him, and engaging his mind with understanding that energy is belongs to him, and ultimately one should worship him. In this way the impersonalist can understand that he is the source of everything. Thank you very much. And sorry for tolerating me. And this subject is, I know it's a bit hard, and it's not my subject matter actually. But I tried my best. And any comments or any questions is accepted. I will try my best to answer, otherwise we close here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
This description of this Jammu Deep
Yes.
is actually increasing the horizon of our understanding of the geography. Generally, what we learn from our modern education, we just learn a little bit about this Earth planet. We say that is also, they explain that it's rotating, and actually this whole Bhuloka is static, and here the Earth. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this kind of topic is where, actually the main purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to just glorify the Lord. So here, as you mentioned, the one topic is sthana, or describing the place, planets. So here, basically, the Earth planet is where we are. So you also mentioned that that only Bharat Varsha, this Bharat Khanda, means this Earth planet, what we understand, that is actually Bharat Khanda. It's only a small part of, like one ninth part of the Bharat Varsha. So what is like very wonderful for me in understanding this topic is like, it is increasing really the horizon of our understanding of the whole Bhuloka is actually our geography. And here, and in the before the kings, they used to rule the whole Bhuloka, not only this earth. And in Kali Yuga, the people, they are thinking they are so advanced, but they are not even able to understand that there is something more. And they are thinking so much wrong informations are there. So that was a little comment.
Thank you. And also, Krishna is absolute, and which is, there is no limitations for him. That people, they think a God means is just something in the temple and he's worshipped and that's it. But it's not like that. He is something, he's complete. Just like if you read all these chapters and all, it speaks that he is unlimited. He is the unlimited personality that we cannot even imagine what kind of a person he is. And not only that, if someone is worshipping him and someone is chanting him, and they don't even understand the power of the process, what we are doing. Actually, we haven't realized 100% the process, what we are doing, the power of the process. That it can just, one person goes around and chants Hare Krishna and it can just liberate the whole universe. And it's infinite. You can use the word infinite, which cannot be described. The power of Krishna and his unlimited energies. But even Brahma cannot understand. Srila Prabhupada comments that even Brahma cannot understand with his forehead. And what these scientists with a tiny brain can understand. Something which is not in their capability. So, it's something interesting to read. And thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Take it.
Hare Krishna. suno. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare
Hare Rama.